minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 140.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Jacket.
Mate.
You feel like vomiting, do you?
I've caught a bug from my son, and it's not good. I'm at home in bed. And we're just quickly saying that I'm that guy who's always sick now. And I'm never that fucking guy that's always sick.
And now you are.
But yeah,
I caught
something off Bodie. It was the worst thing on earth. He projectile vomited in the supermarket on Friday night.
What aisle?
It was at the end of all the aisles. But I was very resourceful because I thought on my feet, and I was at the
paper
wall.
Towel aisle.
No. Basically, there was a whole wall of tissues and garbage bags. So I ripped open the garbage bags and the tissues. Fucking awesome. And then,
So this was on the shelf type of deal?
It was all on the shelf and I just ripped it open. I didn't give a shit. I was like, I need to use this. This is full on.
What did they say?
Nothing. They didn't even say anything. I ripped off the barcode of the tissues. So I stole those. I was just so fed up. And now I've got what he's got. So he's
do you
better.
Reckon you're going to go to the shop and there's just going to be a, you know, like we see at IGA at Abbotsford where they've got the web, the security camera pics. It's like this guy brought here, and it's a photo of Bodie as well for vomiting and stealing.
I'd tell him to get fucked. That and the care factor is low.
Which store was it? Was it St Kilda?
Yeah, Coles in St Kilda.
Yeah, it's your local. Coles. Yeah, you can do that shit.
I mean, it's just because they've been making me pay for bin bags, for bags. It's it's just my little way of getting back at them.
I think that's what... Well,
what's going on? Where are you?
Better, Positano. It is... we got feedback from George, or you passed it on from listener George, also our editor George. Not editor of the show. We don't edit this show, but he edits videos for us on occasion. But he said that you're better in the morning.
Yeah. So when I do the morning shift, meaning 6 a.m. in Melbourne, and that's like night time for you. So you've had a full day to process life. And he just thinks you're a bit rattled in the morning.
Well, I think that this is better. So it's the morning right now, but it's not that bad. It's 8 a.m. So I think that if I have a bit of time to chill and sort of wake up, it's just the 6 a.m. feeling of... Like if I wake up at 6 a.m., I get the same feeling that people get when they're going to the airport in the morning, like it's 3 a.m.
Oh, yeah,
you know, where
you
feel sort of a bit groggy and you're just like you haven't eaten yet. You feel like you need to vomit.
I used to always think that doing breakfast radio, it was like sometimes... I would be on air within 30 minutes of waking up, and it was so weird. It's like you literally just open your eyes, and then you're, oh, okay, gather yourself, talking.
Yeah, you probably, is it a bit out of body right now? Because you were saying that this is pretty bad, this sickness.
Yeah, I cancelled meetings and worked from home, and the worst thing is I had to do work because I'm snowed under. So I've, been... But I had a bath before. So anyway, enough about me. It's I'll make it. Tough enough.
I don't know if this is going to make you feel sick, but I want to talk about oysters to start with.
if you just don't hear me for 10 minutes, it might have. But I'm sure you'll be able to tell the story anyway.
Do you like oysters?
I fucking love oysters. We went recently and just spent $100 on oysters at the restaurant. We didn't pay for the bill, so that's why we did it, but they were amazing. Different regions. Oh, yes.
But what, like, I had oysters last night. It was, we had the option of two different sort of set menus at this place, and the one thing that I wasn't sure on was the starter was an oyster, but I liked the other stuff, so we decided to be a bit risque. And the first thing was... like how to eat them, because I know I've been at like work functions or whatever where, you know, a client's paying and they've ordered oysters for everyone. So you sort of do it and they sort of scoop it up like a shot. But I feel like I didn't have that level of confidence last night. So I sort of put it up close to me.
Yeah.
And then just sort of forked it out. But then I was chewing it and Bree's like, oh, you're not meant to chew it.
What are you meant to do?
Bree says you're meant to just swallow it whole.
Nah.
Bree said you chew once. She said you're not meant to over-chew it.
You're probably not meant to. Like, they shouldn't feel like you can really chew them that much because they're so loose. They're like, you know, I don't even want to go there. It's going to make me feel sick, but...
What's the appeal? Like, if it makes you feel sick, no food that I'm like, oh, look, don't want to talk about it because it'll make me feel sick, but no, geez, it's yummy.
When you've got gastro or whatever I've got, that's when it does it. You don't want to talk about it. But, yeah, it is a weird thing. When you pay fucking $12.50 for an oyster and it's slurped down in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And so
what happens? Well, it's just the shots of seafood, really, isn't it? Because it's like, it's something that costs a bunch of money and it's over really, really quickly. No, but I literally ate the oyster and I was just really awkward about the whole experience and just felt a bit self-conscious of that I wasn't sort of using the fork right, or even if I was meant to be using the fork, but I feel like I had to break it off from the bottom.
Yeah, some of them are more stuck to the bottom. Yeah. Just depends.
I was expecting like a little bacon bits or something on the top.
Maybe you're only meant to chew it once.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I went to my parents' place yesterday and there was an Uber Eats bag. And I just said to her, I said, fuck, how good is Uber Eats? And there's nothing. I know that you've used it like no tomorrow, but I was comparing to when, I was thinking back to when I lived at home and with my brothers, we would get takeaway. And the only takeaway you could really get was pizza delivered, or you could go down and get Chinese. Like, I remember that was one thing.
And I wonder if Chinese have taken a hit with Uber Eats.
Or they've increased. You know, you see some restaurants that are just like, how the fuck do they survive? But they survive off
Red
Uber.
Rooster.
Yeah.
How the fuck is Red Rooster surviving?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But some of those smaller, like, takeaway, like, they're just takeaway restaurants. There's always dudes hooning in on their scooters getting Uber Eats. But anyway, I was saying to my brother and my dad, I was like, fuck, how good is that technology? He said, my dad said to me, you do realize in like 1960, for us to get takeaway Chinese, we would have to take our saucepans down to the Chinese restaurant and they'd fill up your saucepan and then you'd walk home with it.
What the fuck? That
legit?
It seems some sort of medieval story.
I know.
Why did they need their saucepans?
Well, they didn't do takeaway containers. And it was an easy way, because it was hot, to carry it back in a saucepan with the handle.
It's not a bad idea. Actually, there's probably a business in being a competitor to Uber Eats called Saucepan, and it's all about being environmentally friendly.
I like it.
Well, it's, I feel like there's been... Yeah, well, there's so many examples of that. Like, I was staying with a guy in his 50s when we were Airbnb-ing in Serrano, and there was just a sense that I was watching everything I was saying, because I was like, he probably thinks I'm a fuckwit. Like, talking about, like, you're in Italy having a conversation with a 50-something-year-old dude about coffee, being from Melbourne, you could just come across as the biggest hipster, pretentious piece of shit.
What was his vibe on coffee? Did he seem like a bit snob?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Like, I think that it's, in some regards, I mean, Italy's funny because I feel like they've created all these rules. I don't quite understand why, but it's almost like a power play. Like, you need to wear, hats in, we're going to go to, a natural baths. I get the hats because it's protecting the water, but it just feels like there's a lot of rules where it's like, we don't do takeaway coffee. You have the coffee standing up at the bar. And I got into all of that because there's a part of me which is like, you know, hashtag do as the locals do. But
is that a real hashtag? Have you checked that out?
No, I haven't.
Do as the locals do.
I think that's what I was saying. Do as the locals do. But now I can say, having been traveling for over a month now, I'm over having to worry about what the locals are doing. I'm fully comfortable in my own skin now, being the dumb tourist.
I thought you were going to say, I'm over it, I'm coming home, so I'll see you next week.
Could you imagine? Have you had a holiday that you've ever cut short? Anyone died? That's a bit fucking dark.
You always
wonder about that stuff with old. Like, I know that when my parents, like when my nana was sick before she passed away, there's probably like a year and a half, 2 years where it's sort of like, you know, all of the kids in the family, it's like, oh, you don't want to go away because, you know, we don't want to leave Nana in case she takes a turn.
This is dark, but a friend of mine, his mum was overseas and her brother committed suicide and she just didn't know. She got back 6 months later. No phone. Like, you know, it wasn't easy to contact people back then. And gets back and finds out that news. That'd be so hard.
What do you think about... I was thinking about... I was reminded when Bree and I went away for a trip, and this was one of our early day trips, and one of her bosses had finished up working while she was away, and she wasn't... It was sort of this, like, a last-minute sort of thing, and but they didn't tell her while she was away because they didn't want to stress her. And I was thinking about... There's a part of me where I have moments where I'm like, I wonder if that's going to happen here because we're gone for a while. I wonder if there's like little things ruminating back at home, like all my camera gear stolen from Tommy's.
He's
just holding off until I get back and then he's going to be like, hey, mate, the FS7's gone.
Fuck. You know, I borrowed, this just reminds me, I borrowed a guy's snowboard and I went to the snow and for the weekend, and this was for my brother's bucks party. And have you been? You've been to the snow?
Have I been to the snow? I went once when I was a kid, but it was more like ice. And I remember throwing what I thought was a snowball at my cousin's boyfriend, and it was ice, and it cut his face open. And I literally couldn't go do anything with the family when I was a kid that wouldn't end up with a massive lecture in the car and just being like, you've ruined this whole trip for everyone, Josh.
So at the snow, like when you're staying in cabins and stuff, there's always like a dry room between the sort of house and the entrance to the property, and you kind of leave your board in there and it's like stuff's just a bit gross. And it dries by the time you need to go out and get it again. And I left the snowboard that I borrowed off this guy, this unique, like, fucking one-of-a-kind snowboard. It was this weird shape. And it had these, like, these little, like... it looked like on each end of them, it was shaped as an M, like a pointy M. And it made the board really fast, and I knew it was really special. And
what
I left
made it,
in this,
it fast? Well, like, no, it was the, so... It wasn't just graphics. It was actually sort of molding. So
the back of a the back of a surfboard, it's usually got like a little M in it, or like a. Have you ever seen the back of a surfboard? It's got like the tail.
I've surfed once, but I was too busy on it.
Yeah. Anyway, just the way this was shaped made it go really fast, and so it was like a fucking epic board. Anyway, I woke up the next day, and it's fucking gone. It had got stolen from this dry room at the front of our place because the dry room wasn't secure. The door into our house was secure and I just didn't take it in and left it there and it was gone. And I was like, fuck, I was hungover. I was like, do I tell this guy? Do I text him? Do I call him? What do I do? Do I just tell him when I get back? It was that feeling of, fuck, do I just hold off?
Yeah.
And I ended up... I told him on the way home.
Wait, so where was he? Was he not with you?
No, he wasn't with me.
Just on loudspeaker. Hey, mate. How you going? Yeah, had a good time. Don't have the board. Yeah. Now, is there a sense that, you know, did you give him cash for it?
I gave him $500.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I'm just going to go spew.
Tommy's literally going to vomit. This is the first vomit that we've had on... on the podcast. Bree's sort of miming to me saying we probably should go.
You there?
How do you feel? I could hear it all.
Better.
Yeah, and you just vomited. That's okay. And
dedication, mate. Nothing gets in the way of the daily talk show.
Do you feel that, is there too much pressure for the show just not to take a hashtag sick day?
Way too much pressure. Too much momentum.
Yeah, I feel it too. I'm like, I actually can't see a day that I'd be taking off. Like, it's this is the problem when something dark happens or shit goes bad. There's going to be at some point where we're going to have to be like, fuck, can't do it.
You get back, I'm divorced. I'm like one of those daily vloggers who's gone insane.
That's so true, isn't it? Does Amy think you shouldn't be doing the episode today? Well, did you sort of use her as a bit of... She doesn't care.
She knows that I wouldn't do it if I couldn't. And I... Yeah. Yeah. And this is the very edge of my capacity of being able to do something.
Yeah. Well, you're still going on strong. Talking about edge of capacity, we will keep it
a short episode, though.
Yeah, it will be. This will be 30 minutes on the dot. No, we can finish it early if you like. The one thing about Positano is the beaches. You have two options, really. It's sort of, you've got the sort of black, sooty, sort of volcanic looking sand.
Yeah,
and then you have the rocky, pebbly type of deal. What would be your choice between those two types of beaches?
Yeah, I don't mind the rocky beaches.
Yeah,
I like the little pebbles.
We've been going the little pebbles over the black sand, because the black sand just gets everywhere and it really sticks. It sticks to you. And like, I had a towel that sort of, we had to pay €5 each to rent our towels from our bed and breakfast or whatever, and it's sort of like, it's not a big beach towel, so I'm sort of like hanging off it. So have you guaranteed.
Have you got a one of those, what are they called? Like a Lilo, the Gabbana?
Yes.
Like
so we did do that once, the sun lounge things.
Yeah, you pay for a sun lounge.
Yeah, yesterday, like talking about being fully comfortable with being a tourist, we went to a place where there was an Australian flag.
Oh.
Like, we could have been in Bali, but but the one thing is, it gets so, the rocks, the sand, it all gets so hot, and this becomes a problem for me. Do you know why it's more of a problem for me than anyone else?
Because you have the softest hands on earth, and I can imagine your feet are like a pig's nose.
Yeah, well, really exactly. But what would people normally do in that situation? What would you do to avoid that? Yeah. Do you know I don't wear thongs ever?
You've never worn them?
I've worn them once, but I haven't worn thongs for more than an hour ever in my life.
Why? What's wrong with you?
Well, no, I did sandals once in Thailand, which seemed so fucking dorky. I looked like a full German tourist.
Definitely.
But the thongs, I just find super uncomfortable, more likely to trip over. I feel super flat-footed. Yeah. So I don't own any thongs. So I'm literally walking down to the beach in runners, taking my socks off, like full dork.
Yeah, I can imagine you. I think you got to embrace it. It depends. Like, to walk around Positano, it's not nice to wear thongs. It's vertical hills every second corner that you're turning.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's okay. But it definitely fits. It's not within your brand. It's one of those things. You're not a thong guy.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel. But I feel like this is probably the situation where I should be using thongs, because I'm like, if feel the mental capacity, it goes into that place of being on those hot coals. Like, I feel like I'm at a Tony Robbins event, and I'm trying to fucking walk along, and it's like burning the fuck of the bottom of my feet.
I just want to preface, if you're an American who's just somehow found your way to this part of the podcast, we're not talking about G-strings.
Yeah, I'm not wearing a G. I'm not opposed to wearing a G-string on the beach. I wear a G-string on the beach, to be clear. I just don't wear thongs.
How ridiculously expensive is sunscreen in Europe? Have you bought any yet?
We bought some early on, I think maybe in London. Brie, where do we buy our sunscreen from? Italy. But was it expensive? Tommy's saying, how expensive is sunscreen? Yeah, it was. It was expensive, but we got a big thing of it. Bree got this brand that she really likes, that I think is like a Greek or Italian brand. And I've literally, the only place
olive
that
oil.
I've been putting, yeah, olive oil, exactly. The only place I've been putting sunscreen is on my nose.
You've really fucked up.
My nose is looking heaps better now. Like, it's not burnt at all.
Yeah, it's
but
gone.
The thing that, yeah. It's fine. My nose is it's completely...
You do not have a nose anymore.
That would look quite strange. But do you reckon... I don't know if this is... if I'm incorrect in saying this, and someone send us an email, hi@thedailytalkshow.com, if you can let me know. I don't really... I'm not a mole type guy. I don't have any moles. I've got like a tiny little freckle here and there. Does that mean I'm sort of less likely to get skin cancer?
I wouldn't go and say, but
that's probably a good point. As not being a doctor, it's probably good, but that's a fair assumption that I'm making, do you think?
Maybe someone who's very like their skin's very fair and they've got a lot, you could then say is probably potentially more likely, but I don't know if it reduces just because you don't have more on there doesn't mean that it can't happen. I don't know. But yeah, you definitely don't. Like, I've got some friends that've got so many moles all over them and they go in the sun a lot and I fucking freak out thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, because you get it checked out.
But I wonder if that is the thing. Like, is skin cancer only moles? I don't know.
The thing is, you don't, whatever you think you're looking at is probably, you've got no idea. You need to get them checked out. Because the thing is, they can just look normal. But yeah, I got checked before I went to Europe. I got my moles checked, and I was all good. I don't have a great deal either, but it's definitely worth getting checked.
They take photos and shit of them.
Yeah, I think it's it's scary going to get checked because you're looking for cancer.
Yeah,
which isn't essentially what you're doing, and so there is a bit of a, it's scary. It's like men not wanting to get the camera stuck up their ass. It's embarrassing and scary.
Sam Mack had his Full Monty, and Shane Jacobson. Full Monty was on last night. Did you have a watch?
No, I don't have a TV. You know this.
Yeah, that's right. You don't. The funny thing is, nowadays you can basically watch the whole thing through Instagram.
Yeah.
So following all of Sam Mack's amazing amazing stories. If you watched that show, but you haven't heard the episode with Sam Mack that we did, you should go back and listen because he talks about the show on there, which was good.
Yeah. And did you watch it through Instagram?
No, I was watching on Instagram. It was funny that you talked about the dudes not wanting to get their prostates checked or whatever because a lady sent Sam a message on Instagram and said, hey, this show was amazing. It basically opened up the conversation with my husband who had been putting it off and he's now all booked in.
Crazy. So. Dude, I just... friend told me recently about this YouTuber. I can't remember her name, but she's got heaps of subs and someone pointed out this thing in her eye and said, your eye's a bit funny here. I'd get that checked out. She had a brain tumor.
Oh, no. That was the... I wonder if that was the girl who does the gadgets, the inventions and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's her.
That is a full... I'll have to look that up. That's a full-on story that
a viewer just saw that her eye was going a bit like wonky. I think that's what it was. And then they said, I've noticed your eye going like this. I'd suggest you go and get that checked.
Yeah. Do you worry about that stuff much, like getting cancer?
Oh, I think it's definitely a thought.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely not one to just get saturated in the thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Amy and I went through an experience early this year where she found a lump in her breast and we went and the process was so fucking scary. Like your head goes dark places pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And the anxiety comes long story short, the doctor was worried. He didn't share his worry with us, and this is a specialist. And then turned out it was nothing, which he didn't think it was going to be nothing. It was. And so it was so fucking scary. And but yeah, definitely we like when it becomes real like that, it's hard not to let your mind wander into some pretty dark places.
But there seems to be so many things that give you cancer. Like, for instance, I even think about on this trip the amount of, like, you know, cured meats and shit that I've been eating probably super... And but I've just also thought about how much processed shit I've eaten in my life. I'm just like, oh, man. Mm.
Look at your life as the 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
If you can live for the rest of it eating less processed shit, you'd probably be right. But you know what? We went last week for our, like, final follow-up with Amy's breast person, whatever they're called, specialist, overpriced 10-minute session. But lovely guy and happy to give him our money.
Are you leaving that review on Google
reviews? No, he's a lovely guy. Like, fuck, it's amazing how important it is to have someone that's lovely going through this process, just someone who's gentle. Yeah. Anyway, he was telling us that... Amy asked, should she get that test where you can find out if your gene is prone to cancer? And, you know, a lot of people are having this and then they get, I think it's vasectomy. I think that's the...
Yeah, so they get the... Yeah, so their, like, boobs removed or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's her name? Heaps of celebrities have done it. What's her name? Brad Pitt's ex-wife. Yeah, Angelina Jolie. She had both her breasts removed. Anyway, Amy said, should I get it? And he said, I don't suggest you do for the history in your family. And then I was thinking, and I asked the question around, you know, like for these people, once they find out that they have this gene, is there a higher chance of them getting it based on the knowledge that they have this gene within them? And he kind of gave me this long answer, but in short, he told me about this patient that he has that has this, and this is how severe it gets. They can do a test now where they can tell you up to 100% certainty, they can tell you 100% chance that you were going to get stomach cancer. And so he was telling me that this young patient of his, she was a twin and she had the gene for her breasts, so they were removing both her breasts. She was young. He said, you know, she was, you would never think, like, she's a, you know, good-looking young lady who looked fit and healthy, and she's about to have her stomach removed based around this gene test because it's 100% certain that she'll at some point in her life get stomach cancer. How crazy is that?
So did you say that she'd had breast cancer or something already, or was this
she
just
hadn't
like-
had it? She hadn't had it, but she had the gene that was that meant she was predisposed to getting it at some point, a high risk. And then she did this test, and then she was getting her stomach removed. So I think it's like, I mean, if you knew, if someone said there's a 100% chance that you're going to get this, I'm sure you would take the action. But when you it went like when he said there's a 30% chance you'll have breast cancer based on that test, you know, like, do you get it done? And he said you evaluate it based on how old you are.
Is it based on, like, the tissue in your breast? Like, what are they actually looking for?
A gene. So they can, like, the gene within your DNA.
But I wonder what the gene is actually, how the gene represents itself. Like,
it's present. I think some people just don't actually have the gene present within their body.
Mm.
And so if they find some certain genes within your body, they then can start getting that data. But he said to us, like, he said, look, in your lifetime, he reckons that there's going to be some serious, serious fucking tests that will be able to help so much, help people prevent even getting these things.
Well, I was watching Dark Tourist. Have you watched any of that yet on Netflix?
Yeah, I watched the first episode where he goes to Colombia, Mexico, and...
Yeah,
full on.
Well, he did an episode where he's done two episodes where he's ended up in sort of nuclear sites. So he did I think near Russia or somewhere where they did sort of the big nuke testing during the wars or whatever. So my knowledge is horrendous, but they had these like gadgets which would tell them the level of radiation, and it was like through the roof, like well over what was sort of healthy. But it's that weird thing where it's like you, it's invisible. You don't see it. So it's sort of, I felt really sort of torn by it because it's like, actually, this is like how the thing about dark tourists, I feel like they didn't really explain properly the risk like that they're sort of bringing to themselves in that sort of situation. I felt a little bit sort of torn where it's like, okay, so should we be, you know, is this entertainment? But
yeah. Well, there's a town near the Pilbara, like over in WA, hours outside of of Perth, like maybe 4 or 5 hours, and it's a town that they've closed down completely, and it is where they were producing asbestos, and a whole bunch of people got cancer from being there years and years ago, and so it's shut down, but people are still going out there and putting on masks and shit and looking. It's look it up, just look up Pilbara asbestos town, and it's so spooky. It's like just a ghost town, and yeah, it's dangerous to go to, but people are still loving it. Fuck it. Yeah.
Well, this is, yeah, that's that whole dark tourist thing, and because that seems even more full on. Like, I think there's a bit of the show where I was like, ah, this is, it's a little bit like the dark tourist stuff, it is a bit soft. Like, he couldn't go too extreme because, you know, it's a funded TV series and it just had that vibe, whereas like that's even feels like next level stupid.
Yeah, well, imagine what would actually be out there.
Yeah,
so just quickly, the dark tours is like Pablo Escobar tours where you go with this guy and he takes you around to where Pablo Escobar used to live and deal drugs, and then one of the hitmen who was Pablo Escobar's private assassin, he's running tourists. He's running like a tour around parts of Medellin or wherever Pablo used to live. But people are loving it. And yeah, so many people are making money from Pablo Escobar, and it's got nothing to do with drugs anymore.
It's also weird because they're all, they're sort of idolizing this guy who killed all these people. Where it's like those two blokes who are on. And they're sort of like, you know, do you think, how do you feel about it? And you can sort of tell that they sort of idolize this guy because they've watched all the shows. But he's done some pretty horrendous things.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing. And we don't know what it's like. He built like neighborhoods. It's crazy. Like, he developed neighborhoods for poor people. But then he was blowing up planes with civilians in them. He was a fucking monster, and he shouldn't be glorified, but I mean, he's probably changed some people's lives for the better over there, but it doesn't excuse any of the bullshit he did.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's crazy.
Let's end the show with a word of the day. This one comes from Matter, who sent us an email from about his cousin Chris, who's apparently a wordsmith, and the word is, it's spelled E-N-M-U-I, and he's pronounced it ennui.
Ennui?
Ennui. I've ennui. No, have a guess. What do you think it means?
Fuck, I've got no ennui. Clue. Ennui. Ennui. It's something around momentum.
Spirituality, maybe? Oh, yeah. Oh, no, ennui. That's good. I like that. He's got, yeah, we're building ennui. Well,
yeah.
It's defined as a feeling of wariness and dissatisfaction. There you go.
Ennui.
Ennui also has connotations of self-indulgent posturing and, yeah, and it goes on. This is a problem when I don't read them beforehand to try and surprise both of us. You have the risk of me going into year 10 SOS where I can't read.
Fuck, I haven't heard that word in 10 years, 15, 20 years.
Well, they changed it to humanities, but no, they called it, I don't even know what SOS actually
humanities,
stands for.
I haven't heard that thing in fucking ever. Jeez.
Yeah, well, mate, hope you start feeling better. Happy Monday, everyone.
Happy Monday, everyone.
We'll see you on Tuesday. If you're liking the show, please do like Paul Williams did, who emailed us overnight. Don't know if you've seen that email, Teach.
No, I didn't.
But Paul. Leave a review through the podcast app on the iPhone because it helps. He was like, man, I was surprised at how little ratings you guys have had. So I thought you were big. I thought you were top 20 on iTunes, which is sort of a nice compliment, I guess. It's a daily talk show, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
See you guys.